morning back in my office a book that was written in 1968 by a minister named Ralph M. Riggs, one of the older books of teaching on Bible prophecy. Hallelujah. And he was going through the different signs of the times. Or remember, this was written in 1968. And he was listing the different things from Scripture. The wars, rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilence. And of course, pestilence means sickness, not just grasshoppers. Pestilence is anything coming against man to devastate man, and pestilence. And then he was talking about Israel being reestablished to Palestine, and just a whole list. And then he had a conclusion there, and he said, if you see, and he began to count it all off again, Israel coming back, when you begin to see the signs, the worldliness, and the mockery of the coming of the Lord, and you begin to see the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilence, he said, well, when you see all this, you got to realize and understand you're in the last days. And the reality, and he talked about the outpouring of the Spirit of God, and we're seeing that too. Church, we're in the last of the last days. Hallelujah. We're ticking off towards the end of the time of the church. It's about over. It's almost done. Hallelujah. But there's going to be a great falling away. That was one of the signs of the times. What is a falling away? Where people would rather be more occupied with the things of this world than with the kingdom of God. That's the falling away. If things here mean more to you than going to heaven, that's a falling away. Woo. My. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see that day approaching. The falling away, church means nothing. Do you know how many churches are closing right here in Chelsea? Church means nothing. There was a little advertisement on my phone. I was reading my devotional, and those devotionals have little deals of advertisement. And the advertisement was how to self-baptize yourself. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a church. You just, and this is how you baptize yourself. And, you know, for a small fee, we'll send you a book. And church means nothing. It's the last days. Anybody that doesn't think they need the house of God really doesn't know Jesus Christ in the fullness of a relationship with Him. Because if they knew Jesus Christ and the fullness thereof and what He has ordained and designed, they'd be in the house of God every time the doors were open. They would be there. They would not allow anything to keep them from being in the presence and the strengthening of their Savior. Woo! See, that's just signs of the last days. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And then we've got political things going on. Who would have ever thought in America we'd be facing what we're facing right now? Who ever thought there'd be an individual like we have as a president in that position? Not me. I didn't think that. I thought surely America knows better than that. I guess she doesn't. Why? Because she's forsaken God. She's forsaken God. There's a song, and I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but there's a song that a songwriter wrote talking about the calamities in the schools, the shootings in the schools. And then, you know, after it happens, everybody says, well, where was God? And that's what the song talks about. It says, you told God you didn't want Him there anymore. But then when the calamity happens, where's God? It don't work that way. If you want God, you put Him there first. Hallelujah. And then He'll help you in your time of calamity. But if you tell God you don't want Him there, then He won't be there. Whew. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 8 this morning. Praise the Lord. Good to be in God's house this morning. I'm glad I'm saved, and I know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Praise the Lord. And I have opportunity to grow in His grace and in His knowledge, that I can be ready for the sounding of the trumpet. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." I want to read it one more time. "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." Praise God. You can be seated again this morning. I want to preach on the thought, power of pleasing. Power of pleasing. How many times have you heard someone mention, or have you mentioned it yourself, "Man, I'd like to see the power of God like it used to be." Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever prayed that? Anybody ever heard that? All right. Well, I've got the antidote for that here this morning. The power of pleasing. And I just caught a small portion of the very tail end of your Sunday school class this morning. Did you catch that portion about being pleasing to God? And I had no idea what the Sunday school class was. And actually, these notes are from last Sunday. I was going to preach this last Sunday. The power of pleasing. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. That means He hates it. He doesn't want the wicked people giving Him sacrifice, giving Him honor. Do you remember the story of Paul and Silas? And we preach a lot about that when they got thrown in jail, but do you remember why they got thrown in jail? Because there was a maiden that was going about, she was demon-possessed, and she was going about giving honor to God. Yeah, a demon-possessed young lady was going about giving honor to God. She was following Paul and Silas, saying, "Listen to these men, because they will tell you all the things." Wow. And Paul suffered it for a few days. But Paul knew that the sacrifice of the wicked was an abomination to the Lord. And he turned around and rebuked that spirit and cast it out of her. Even though she was saying some right things, she was still possessed of a devil. And that's the instant that got them in trouble and got them thrown into the innermost part of the prison. When they rebuked that spirit, that wicked sacrifice to the Lord. Amen. And of course, if we go on with the story, we can find that the prayer of the upright, hallelujah, was a delight to God. As they begin to sing and they begin to praise God in the midst of that prison and begin to pray and call on God, God moved on the scene. Hallelujah. And so the prayer of the upright is His delight. That word delight means great joy or pleasure. Something giving great joy or pleasure. Or an old rendering of it, the power of pleasing. The power of pleasing. We say it all the time, there's power in prayer. Nope, we need to change that. There's not power in prayer. There's power in the prayer of the upright. There we got it right now. Hallelujah. Because there's not just power in prayer. Like I said, and I've said it many times already through over this pulpit, there's a lot of people that pray. Can I say this morning? But the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Yeah, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. God's not going to give ear to the wicked. And when they're praying and trying to make God do something they want God to do, God don't hear that. But you can mark it down. devil probably does. But God's ear is inclined to the righteous. Hallelujah. Those that will walk upright before the Lord, they are His delight. Those that walk upright before the Lord, when they begin to pray, hallelujah, there is power in their prayers because they are pleasing an almighty God. Hallelujah. They are living their life not to please themselves, but to please a holy God that has saved them by His grace. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, there's power in pleasing God. There's power for our lives. There's power then in our prayers. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Do you realize what Jesus just said to His disciples? Hallelujah. He said, if you walk uprightly. Hallelujah. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But then He goes ahead and brings the clincher to what He's talking about in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In other words, this promise of prayer and be receiving what you're asking for is totally linked with spiritual growth. And growing in God and being fruitful for God, it's not linked to Cadillacs. It's not linked to pickup trucks. It's not linked to mansions on a hill somewhere. It's not linked to material goods at all. It is linked to your spiritual well-being. Hallelujah. And anybody that wants to take this scripture and try to tell God He has to give them $1 million because they asked, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! They may know of Him. They may have heard about Him. They may have professed they want Him. But they do not know Him. Hallelujah. Oh, have you ever read there in the scripture where Jesus said they'll come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in Your name? Have we not done wonderful works in Your name? And He will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Not enough to make a profession of faith. It's not enough to say Jesus is a Savior. I said that for 23 years of my life. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. There's got to be a surrender of the will. There's got to be a giving of the heart. There's got to be a giving of the mind. Hallelujah. Salvation is free by the grace of God. But because that grace comes on the scene, I freely give it all to God. Woo! Didn't cost me anything, but everything I got, I give it to God. I give it right back. Why? Because He gave to me first. He washed me first. He cleansed me first. So I just turn around. I give Him my heart. I give Him my mind. I give Him my life. I give Him my will. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. See, this is the power of pleasing. When I'm ready to give all to Jesus Christ, He's ready to give all to me. Woo! Did you catch that? When I am ready and willing to give all to Jesus Christ, He is ready and willing to give all to me. I can ask and I will receive. I will seek, I will find. I will knock, the door shall be open. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I'm ready to give it all. He said there in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who embraces and assist in spreading the teachings of another. A disciple is an active adherent as of a movement or philosophy. And of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ is an active adherent to the teachings of His Word. A disciple. Hallelujah. An active. Oh, active. That speaks of doing something, doesn't it? An active adherent. That means, you know what, you know, to adhere to something, you're there. You're stuck right there with Him. You don't want to be separated from Him. But you know what will separate us from Him? Sin. Doesn't mean he's not there, does it? Doesn't mean he won't speak to us, does it? No. But what it is, sin separates us until we become active to repent of our sin. And thus he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And once again, we are an adherent to him. Hallelujah. Close to him. You surely understand there are times in your Christian life when it seems like God's a million miles away. Have you never encountered that yet? You will. Why? Because when God then starts bringing forth that growth in your life, he's going to have to start revealing sin in your life. What is sin? Disobedience. What is disobedience? Not adhering to God's word. So when God's word comes our way, it's automatically going to bring us to a place of decision to where we either will stay with Christ Jesus or we will be broken away from him. And see, that's not necessarily willful sin. That's sin that I do because I'm not for sure, I don't understand, but it will still separate me from my God. Why does he do that? So that I will realize something's wrong. Where's God's presence in my life? Where's God at in my life? I can't hear the Lord. I don't hear his voice right now. But something's not right. And that's when I begin to rehearse in my mind, what has God been talking to me about? And then I realize, oh, forgive me, God. And I'm back close again. I'm back close again. I don't want to be among that number that serve God afar off. There's no reason to serve God afar off. But if you distance yourself from the Lord, you're serving God afar off. No. You want to be right next to him. You want to be close to him. You want to walk with him. Hallelujah. Praise God, because you want the power of pleasing going on in your life. You want that power with God going on in your life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Hallelujah. Are you a Christian only in the sight of men? In other words, you want to put on the facade, so to speak, or you want to claim to be a Christian, but you'll only do it when people are watching. And when people are not watching, you're an abomination to God. That's a pretty stout terminology there. But that's what that is. Because that's the sacrifice of the wicked. That's a double-minded individual. When they're Christian, when they're with Christian, and they're worldly, when they're with worldly, that's an abomination to God. That is not single-hearted service to the King. Hallelujah. What did it say right there? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That means you're true blue, whether anybody's looking or not. Hallelujah. You're serious about serving Jesus Christ when you're by yourself or when you're with somebody. Hallelujah. When you're with the church or with the world. It's got to be this way, church, or you're not going to be able to influence anybody's life to salvation if all they see is that when you're with them, you're just like them. Woo! Hallelujah. Jesus sat with sinners, but Jesus didn't sin with sinners. Woo! Hello. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh my, serving the Lord from the heart. Hallelujah. Out of the heart proceeds the life. Out of the heart proceeds the words that we speak. Serving Jesus Christ from the heart means I serve him 24/7. Hallelujah. Not Sunday morning, Sunday night, and midweek service. Hallelujah. 24/7. I am serious about serving Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because I want the power of pleasing going on in my life. Well, I want God to be able to move when I pray. Woo! Glory to our God. One of the main things that is going to begin to transpire when I am set on being an active adherent to Jesus Christ, a disciple of Christ, where I want my prayer to be a delight to Him, to where it will become the power of pleasing. Because when I'm pleasing Him, that's when He's going to pour out that power. The number one most important thing, or the first thing, or a continual thing that's going to begin to transpire in a believer's life, is using that power of pleasing to make sure I'm right with God. Not somebody else. To make sure I'm right with God. Hallelujah. Because knowing that the prayer of the upright is the delight, then I will be continually and very seriously making sure I'm upright. If I want God's best going on in my life. Hallelujah. Psalm 66:18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalms 145:18-20. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. Praise God. So searching of self. Lord, I don't want any iniquity in my heart. Lamentations 3:40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. So the power of pleasing is not an automatic thing. There must be a continual self-searching of my heart, of my mind, of my motive, of my attitude, hallelujah, of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Am I doing it because I love my God, or am I doing it but trying to use it as a lever to make God move? As a lever to make God move, we will not work. But out of the sincerity of my heart, heaven will move for you. Hallelujah. And see, this is what a lot of people do not understand, even in churches today. They just expect God to move for them regardless. God does not move regardless. God moves by faith. What does faith produce? Upright living. Hallelujah. A lot of times we're trying to have faith in God without upright living. Church, it doesn't work that way. That's never worked that way. It's always been the cry of the righteous, the upright of heart, those that love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, all their mind. There's got to be a giving, hallelujah, that we might receive from God. He will not withhold any good thing from them that what? Walk uprightly. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to stop before they say those words. Because there's a whole lot of people in these last days who want to go to heaven, but they don't want to live right. Woo, help us, Jesus. The power of pleasing makes all the difference in your Christian life. Wow. It's going to bring importunity. Because it's going to bring a confidence in God and not in me. And so I will continually take it to the Lord in prayer. Faith many times must operate with importunity. Hallelujah. We've been a little delusioned and persuaded by the hyper faith teaching. And when we pray, then we expect it now. It don't work that way. It can work that way, don't misunderstand me. But there are times when God wants to see how serious you are about serving Him. God wants to see how serious you are about sacrificing yourself for Him. God wants to see how serious you are about being obedient to His word if you want Him to move at your word? Why? Did you forget so quickly that we are the children of God? And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth? Why? So we can learn. That's what chastening's all about. That's what discipline's all about. Teaching our children what they can do and what they cannot do. And when they're young, they can't rationally figure it out. But you rob them a time or two and they'll figure that out. It's just pretty, common. If I do that, I'm getting that. Well, I think I'll think twice about doing that again. Hallelujah. Some may do it twice. Some may do it the third time. But if the discipline is there the same way every time, sooner or later, they're going to get tired of that discipline and change their way. Whoa! How many times does God have to discipline us to change our ways? Woo! Do we hear the first time? How about the second time? How about the third time? How long is it going to take us to wake up and realize it's time to change? It's time to change. I can't live that way anymore. I have no power with God. Have no sway with God. Oh, do not. Oh, catch a hold of this. Do not, I say again, do not fall into that pity party place. Trying to make an excuse for your lack of obedience. I've seen it so many times, and I'll be truthful with you. I can't hardly stand it. That when somebody does wrong, then they want to become the victim. Hey, what they say, hey, we don't have to be the victim. We can be the victor. I couldn't think of that while ago. That was the fourth one. Praise God. Woo! That was in Kids Crusade. That was teaching children, hallelujah, not to get the old pity party. I'm the victim. You're not the victim. You're the one that did it. And you can be the victor if you'll rise up, confess your sin, walk uprightly before your God. You'll be victorious. Praise God. Woo! The power of pleasing. Huh? I mean, here's a test. A little test for you to take. How many times you try to do things pleasing to other people? Or do you always want people to do things pleasing to you? Let me rephrase a little bit. How many times do you change your will for other people to make them happy? Or are you only happy when things go your way? Woo. You ain't living right, I'm sorry. Because a child of God should esteem others greater than themselves. I'm living, hallelujah, so that I can help you. Praise God. I'm living so I can have power with God. So I can help you. Hallelujah. Does that mean I'm perfect and got it all figured out? No, I'm not perfect. And I don't have it all figured out. But I am trying to walk uprightly before my God. And I'm trying to walk in everything He is showing me to walk in. Woo, hallelujah. That's what it means to walk uprightly. That doesn't mean you know everything. Doesn't mean you're getting everything right. Doesn't mean you've gained any growth in some areas. But you got to be grown where you're at. Hallelujah. I mean, you've got to be an adult. You've got to be mature to where you're at in your walk with God. You've got to be walking according to the light you have received. Wow. Not just what you think's right. But the light you have received. Woo! Walk in the light as He's in the light. Oh, praise be to our God. Oh, search our ways. Try our ways. Hallelujah. Oh, my importunity. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. To everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And what man is there of you, whom his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, catch that. That's our state. That's really what we are without Jesus Christ. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And once again, you've got to understand, this is pertaining to your spiritual growth. God will not withhold any good things. And we've already mentioned that. See, you've got to understand, all these promises are for spiritual growth, not material gain. We got to renew our minds here, because we may be asking God for a lot of things and telling God, I ask, I need to receive, and you've asked amiss, because you've asked it for your lust of your flesh, of what you want, what you desire. That's not what that promise is for. That promise is so I can turn from my evil ways, I can turn from my wicked ways, I can turn from my disobedient ways, and that I can walk uprightly before a holy God in heaven that has washed me in His blood, forgiven me all my past sins, and has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think it's just a small thing to ask. Woo! After all He's done for me, it's a small thing for Him to ask me to walk upright. Do right. Do good. Be kind. Woo, hallelujah. Forgive one another. Glory to God. That's a small thing to ask. Hallelujah. For what He has already done for us. Now, if you have not experienced Him to where you can think that way, then there's a brand new experience for you to have. It's called born again by the Spirit of God. It doesn't make any difference. You can be in church for 100 years and still not be born again. I mean, there's a lot of folks that they've been in church for a long time. They just never have reached that place of surrender to God where they can be born again by the Spirit of God. They're not against God. And God will see to it before they breathe their last breath. But you don't really want to wait that long, because then you miss out on all the opportunities to serve Jesus. But He will see to it before that last breath is drawn. They'll surrender. They'll surrender. But oh, what a wasted life. What a wasted life. It's sad, but I'm thankful, because I have seen a multitude wait to the very end before they surrender. And they'll receive the same reward. They'll receive eternal life, just like those that have served God for years and years and years. But when they get there, they're going to be sad. So sad. Because they're going to see what their life could have been had they surrendered to Jesus sooner. Hallelujah. Praise God for grace. See, that's grace. That's that grace of an almighty God. Hallelujah. That's God answering prayer of the upright. Hallelujah. For those that just haven't got there yet. That's why we need to continue to pray and intercede for souls that are not saved yet. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men all ought always to pray and not to faint. Praise our God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. Did you catch that? In everything give thanks. Thanksgiving is part of the life of a Christian. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is what's going to keep me in this power of pleasing. Thanksgiving means I am constantly being reminded of the grace of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, everything God has done for me. Thus, I want to do for Him. I want to live for Him. Hallelujah. Get off your mind doing some great famous thing and get on your mind becoming the servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. Being ready, willing, and able to work whenever work needs to be done. Whatever needs to be done, the servant of the Lord is ready to do it unto God. Hallelujah. And so the reality is here, do not think serving the Lord is standing behind this pulpit. That's not what this pulpit's for. It's not what preaching is all about. Preaching is just a small drop in the bucket for a servant of the Lord. It is. I mean, I get up here, I've been up here multitudes of times. I don't know how many sermons I've preached. But out of all them sermons I have preached, the only thing that makes them any somewhat powerful is the life that I have lived before I preached that sermon. So that the anointing of God can rest upon that sermon. Hallelujah. You see, the servant of the Lord, it's not preaching.
No.
The servant of the Lord is all about surrender. 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 Just look at the Apostle Paul's conversion as he went to Damascus. And he went to Damascus with hate in his heart. He went to Damascus with pride in his mind. He was on the road to Damascus to murder more people that followed after Jesus. But when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, the pride was broken. The hate was broken. And when he hit the words that came from his mouth showed forth the surrender of his heart and his will in that moment of time. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? It was no longer Saul making the decisions. It wasn't no longer Saul breathing out threatenings. It was no longer the pedigree of all the knowledge he had learned. It was, Lord, the servant of God, what would you have me to do? And then Jesus Christ began to teach him and train him in the ways of Christ. Praise God. That's what he would have you to do. If you feel that God has called you, then what you need first and most of all is surrender and training. And surrender takes great effort. And training takes time. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you're feeling that call of God, don't think you're going to be up here. Because it'll be a while before you're up here. When you prove yourself in the trenches, then you may get opportunity to preach. Because that's where it's at. The battle is won in the trenches. Woo, praise our God. Hallelujah. Power of pleasing. Pleasing our God. And I've got to wrap this up here this morning. Praise the Lord. I haven't got to preach for a while. James chapter 1 verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So here we are. We're back to the single-hearted service of the Lord. And God says, I've got everything you need. But you've got to ask in faith. And faith is coupled with surrender and obedience. See, when the Bible talks about having faith to believe God for something, you're not going to have much faith to believe God for something if you have a guilty conscience. See, guilt, we don't have to have guilt, we can have grace. You see, if you don't have confidence in God because of your behavior, then you don't have faith. But when you have faith in God, your behavior lines up with your faith. And so you don't have any doubt when you ask, God's going to hear. You still leave it in His hands, and He will still answer as He wills, but you will not have a problem with your faith that God is able, because you're walking uprightly with Him. Well, praise God. And so, thus, what, and then it goes on, to see, because if you don't have faith like that, you're a double-minded individual. In other words, what's that mean? That means, well, you only want God when you want God. You only want God when things are hard and tough. You only want God half the time. So that's a double-mindedness. You got to get God all the time. All the time. All the time. Regardless. Woo! Whether it's good, whether it's bad, I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving God. Hallelujah. Where everything's coming up roses or everything's coming up dirt clods, I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Woo! I mean, that just sent my mind running way back. I'm sorry, church. We used to have dirt clod fights out in the fields. Hallelujah. Back on the farm. I mean, it's amazing what a dirt clod can do. Praise God. You don't want a dirt clod. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You don't want to be double-minded. You want to be single-hearted, single-minded serving Jesus. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Power of pleasing. Did you catch that? It's the prayer of a righteous man, a prayer of a righteous woman that avails much. God hears all things. God knows all things. But when his children pray, he perks up. He listens. And what I mean by his children, well, his children are those who will walk uprightly. Not those who just want something, but those that will do whatever he wants done. Those he will perk up and he will move for. The power of pleasing. I'm going to close with this. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. Once again, spiritual growth is what God's after. Fruit is what God's after. Change is what God's after. Transformation is what God's after. Hallelujah. And as you and I follow him in what he's after, he will give us the good things of the kingdom. Hallelujah. He will baptize in the Holy Ghost. That was another one of the scriptures about if your earthly father give you good gifts, how much more will your heavenly father give you the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so we see then, we don't get it by works, but yet at the same time, faith without works is dead. And so it's just that proverbial, if my faith is alive, I'm ready to be obedient. If my faith is alive, I'm ready to adhere to what he's speaking to me. If my faith is alive, then I am ready to transform at his command. Hallelujah. If my faith is alive. But if I'm alive, if I'm more self-willed than I am surrendered, I won't get anything. I won't get anything. Woo! It takes that place of a willingness to do whatever God wants done. That's why we many, many times try to encourage people to be obedient when the Spirit of God's moving and the Spirit of God's flowing in the service. Incline your heart to be obedient to the Lord. Incline your heart to follow after the Spirit of God, that you can receive everything God has for you. And when the preaching's coming forth, know that God is desirous for change. And the Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword. That means it cuts going and it cuts coming. Hallelujah. That means it is going to continually reveal to me what I need. What I need. Hallelujah. I need more of Jesus is what I need. I need more of Jesus and less of me. That is really understood by all. Praise the Lord. Could I have a piano player this morning? Could we stand together? Hallelujah. The power of pleasing. In other words, when God's happy, you'll be happy too. Hallelujah. You want joy? That joy unspeakable that we've just sung about? Hallelujah. That is only found when God's happy. Hallelujah. When I am pleasing my God, when I am doing those things He wants me to do, when I am striving and pressing towards the mark. Hallelujah. Praise God. You remember here a while back, I talked to you about something God wanted me to do, about only eating one helping, temperance. Well, I finally put that into action. I've lost 7 pounds this week just by being obedient to God, just by changing my ways. I feel better than I felt in a long time. Why do we wait so long to be obedient? I love the way I'm feeling. It's amazing what just 7 pounds on me, how it affects my life. I'm not ridiculing anyone or telling anybody you need to do what I'm doing. I'm just sharing it with you because not only is that making God happy, that's making me happy too. Because now I feel better. I can't explain it to you. My feet don't hurt near as bad as they did before. They're carrying 7 pounds less. Wait till I get the next 35 pounds off. See what it's going to be like then. I may be running with these teenagers again by then, Brother Jason. I don't know. That's not what I'm after. What I'm after is I'm trying to take care of this body, because I ain't getting any younger. And I don't know how soon the Lord's coming, but I plan on preaching for God for a long time. My mother-in-law said she's going to live to be 125, so I told her I'm going to live to be 100. Hallelujah. The race is on. Woo! I lost 7 pounds this week. How about you? Woo! Praise our God. The power of pleasing. That's what I'm after. The reality of just simple obedience and the doors that it can really open and the things that it can do in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands. Let's present ourselves that living sacrifice unto the Lord. Let's lift our hearts with our hands this morning. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. God, we thank you for grace. Oh, that wonderful grace. Hallelujah. Coupled with your mercy, Lord God, makes us more than conquerors, Lord. Victorious in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for what you are doing, Lord, in Calvary Lighthouse Church. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. Hallelujah, Lord God. We just desire for your will to be accomplished here on earth. Lord, as you want it done. Coming out of
how
heaven.
Great
hallelujah.
You
oh Lord, we want to see the lost brought to a reality of their need for salvation. Lord, we want to see saints sanctify their lives. Lord, we want that power of pleasing working in us. Hallelujah. Lord.